Hello and welcome to the Sabbatarianism Podcast. I am Justin. That guy across from me is Richard. Hello, Richard.
Hello. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well, thanks. And to my right, Mr. Neil Saul. Hello, Mr. Neil Saul.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. All right, so we're going to be back in Genesis after these brief announcements. If you are new to the podcast, please start in the beginning. We cover a lot of things in the beginning and can't re-go over them every single time we bring them up. So please start in the beginning and work your way forward. But first and foremost, please read the Bible for yourself. Develop a close personal relationship with God through reading His scriptures, just you and Him. Spend time with God every day and start there. And then if once you've read the Bible all the way through, then start digging into other things like this. So public service announcements over. We are back in Genesis chapter 17, correct?
Correct.
All right. Richard, the dog ate your glasses.
But I got my
your
old
wife
ones
told
on.
Me on the Sabbath.
I only have 2 weeks before I get to new eyeballs.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's coming up.
I'm trying to hang on until then.
Yeah. Well, you think you can do it or you want me to read?
I'll give it a shot.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's start up with Genesis 17 and just pick it up and roll forward.
Okay. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, or El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in your generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God.
Do we want to talk about that? That's part of the two immutable things, right?
Yeah, you know, that's part of the, it's has to do with exactly what he's saying there. It's his seed after him.
And they will receive land.
Yes.
And material possessions,
that's
basically.
Right. That's right.
And they will be multiplied.
That's
and
right.
Multiplied, right.
Greatly. It's been a while, so it doesn't hurt if we kind of go back over all this stuff. We did it in the history of the covenants, but these are really important concepts here that we're covering. So,
and if anyone listening wants to study this more in depth, go back and begin there in, what, about episode three or four,
yeah.
And begin going through it very slowly and carefully.
Download that paper.
Yeah, a lot of this was covered in four.
Yeah.
And three was kind of a precursor to it and included the covenant with Adam.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But now, these are really important things that are happening right here.
Yes. And God said to Abraham, now, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, and every male child in your generations, he who is born in your house or bought with money for any foreigner who is not your descendant, he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant.
Let's pause there.
Mm-hmm.
So the circumcision.
This is the covenant of circumcision.
Okay. But it says that it is, I'm trying to look for the wording here, but it's
a sign.
Represents it. It's a sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It shall be, and this is verse 11, it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. So it's a sign that of this previous covenant that was talked about.
That Abraham's children.
To Abraham right. and his children.
But the original covenant is always the same, right? Obey my voice.
Yes.
And I will be your God.
That was back from Adam and Eve. Yes. Right.
And he mentions that in verse 9, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout your generation.
You know, as we talked about when we went through the paper, God adds these covenants. He makes the initial covenant, which everything is bounded on. He adds these other covenants or promises that he adds to it for different reasons as it goes through.
Yes.
And that's what's going on here. There was another one there in chapter 15 about the people coming out of Egypt and possessing the land after 400 years. And that was a covenant.
That it would happen.
But it all falls under the category of obey my voice.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Because if you don't obey his voice, you're not going to be under any of this.
Covenant broken. So,
yes.
Yeah.
And one last thing before we leave this, something I'd found out when my two sons were born, is after 8 days, a child has developed enough vitamin K, which is required for clotting. And so when you take the foreskin with a knife, the body can prevent it from bleeding to death.
I don't think the 8 days is a common practice anymore, is it?
No. I was lucky. Yeah, I had
to do it right away.
Yeah. Right. I got lucky because the doctor was Jewish.
Okay.
When I approached him, he understood.
Nice.
Verse 15.
Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael may live before you. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. Then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. So Abraham took Ishmael, his son, all who were born in his house, and all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very same day, as God had said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. That same, very same day, Abraham was circumcised, and his son Ishmael, and all the men of his house, born in the house of, or bought with money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him.
So God gives him an order, and that very same day, he carries it out.
That's right.
Not only with him and his son, but everybody that was around him and in his care. You got to think that some of the men around him were like, we're going to do what? Why are we doing that? But
this is a sign of the physical children of Abraham.
Yeah, the sign. I wonder, does the Bible ever tell us why the names of Abraham and Sarah were changed?
It has to do with the meaning.
The meaning. I know that Abram, father...
I can look those up.
You'll have to look it up and see. I know Ab means in Hebrew is a father. And I used to know it, but as I said, I'm old. And my mind is half gone. I could still be president, though, I think.
All right, so Abram is Abram, exalted father.
Yeah, that's exalted father.
And then Abraham, father of a multitude.
Yeah.
So, and that's what he's telling him here. Okay.
Sarai and Sarah.
So Sarai is princess, and Sarah is noble woman. So.
Okay.
Anything else to offer here, Neil?
No. I think we're ready to move on to 18.
All right.
Then the Lord appeared to him in the by the terebinth tree of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, and bowed himself to the ground, and said, "My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourself under the tree. And I will bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh your hearts. After that you may pass by, inasmuch as you have come to your servant." They said, "Do as you have said." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah, and said, "Quickly, make ready 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes." And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and young calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Then they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" So he said, "Here in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "As I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son.' But Sarah denied it, saying, 'I did not laugh,' for she was afraid." And he said, "No, but you did laugh."
Oh, yes, you did. Yeah. Don't be lying to me. Oh, yes, you did.
Yeah. Then the men rose from there and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on the way. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." Now, there's the two immutable things. Okay. "But I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham that which he has spoken to him." And the Lord said, "Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me, and if not, I will know."
That kind of destroys the idea that God knows everything.
Well,
he knows everything he needs to know.
Right.
Yeah, true, but, you know, he's gone.
And I think it's all recorded for him to look back on if he needs to, but it doesn't mean that he's watching every single move that we make. Just the same way he says, "Where are you?" to Adam and Eve, and he says, "Did you eat of the fruit?" He didn't want to know at that time. He made them answer for themselves, yeah. Right? But he could have known. I think everything's recorded.
Well,
in some way.
It says here, "Because the outcry against Sodom right. and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is grave." Okay, so there was an outcry, apparently in the spirit world,
right.
against him. So he's got messengers right. our spirits that exactly. go to and fro.
It, is it says it has come to me. So right. something yes. came to him yeah. with this info.
And it was just like, it's, you know, it's gotten awful down there in Sodom and Gomorrah. And now he says, I'm going to go down and see it for myself.
Yeah. I'll go down there and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me. And if not, I will know. Then the men turned away from there and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood still before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city, would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So the Lord said, well, that's awful bold, isn't it? So the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Then Abraham answered and said, indeed, now I, who am but dust and ashes, have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose there were 5 less than the 50 righteous, would you destroy it? Destroy all the city for lack of 5? So he said, I will find there, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it. And he spoke to him yet again and said, suppose there shall be 40 found there. So he said, I will not do it for the sake of 40. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 shall be found there. So he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, indeed, now I have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 should be found there. So he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak but once more. Suppose 10 should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. So the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place.
Boy, I know Lot is there.
Yeah.
I will take care of it. It's yeah. basically what I think. This really does speak, though, of their friendship.
Yeah.
The way they dealt with each other here.
The way God dealt with him as a friend, as
yeah.
the scriptures tell us.
But yet, deep reverence on Abraham's part, but yet he felt able to have this type of conversation with him. Like you said, bold.
Yes.
Very bold. But it's because they had developed a friendship.
It's interesting that, you say, well, Abraham was thinking a lot, I'm sure, through this whole thing, through the conversation. And he gets down to 10, and God's like, okay, yeah, I'll even,
I'll relent, I won't. Destroy the place.
Yeah,
for the
I
sake
will not
of 10.
Destroy it for the sake of 10.
Well, Lot's household is greater than 10, so that's what Abraham's banking
well,
on.
Well,
right?
But
we took them out, though. He didn't.
Right.
Yeah. But he took Lot, his wife, and his 2 daughters.
Right.
He had sons, son-in-laws.
Right.
He had other daughters.
Right.
They didn't go out.
Right. But I think that's Abraham's argument here. He gets them down to 10, hoping that that'll save them.
Well, that's my point.
Yeah.
He was hoping, but they were so decrepit also
right.
that they, you know.
And the story right afterwards is...
Well, we'll read about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Chapter 19. Now the 2 angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, hear now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way. And they said, no, but we will spend the night in the open square. But he insisted strongly, so they turned in to him and entered his house. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, came, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, surrounded the house, and they called to Lot and said to him, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally. So Lot went out to them through the doorway, shut the door behind him, and said, "Please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof." And they said, "Stand back." Then they said, "This one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them." So they pressed hard against the man Lot and came near to break down the door. But the men reached out with their hands and pulled Lot into the house with him and shut the door. But they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so they became weary trying to find the door. Then the men said to Lot, "Have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whoever you may have in the city, take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord shall send us to destroy it." So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who had married his daughters, and said, "Get up out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city." But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you may be consumed in the punishment of the city." And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of the two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought them out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass, when they had brought them outside, that he said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest you be destroyed." Then Lot said to them, "Please know, my lords, indeed now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you've shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die. So now this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Please let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." And he said to him, "See, I have favored you concerning this thing also, in that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape them, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there." Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what they grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. Then he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and he saw, and behold, the smoke of the land, which went up like the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt.
Let's pause there. First, a public service announcement. If you have small children around, this next part, you may not want them to hear. But Zoar, that is a familiar name. Is there something else significant that happens in Zoar that you can think of, Richard? Neil?
Not right offhand. I mean, it's mentioned other places. But I know we've gone read about it in Bible study lately, but
it's the
one city out of that whole area was not destroyed. The rest, it says not only the other cities, but the plain itself was destroyed with fire and brimstone.
Well, the whole thing, and he got Lot out of there and didn't take out Zoar because of Lot, because of his friendship with Abraham.
I had brought this up recently in our weekly Bible study that the archaeologists have found the four cities that were destroyed. And they expected to find Zoar at the very end of the five. And it's right in the middle. which is kind of unique that, you know, God was able to protect that one city and yet destroy everything around it, including four cities, two on either side. Just you know, a little sidebar.
Isaiah 15:5, my heart will cry out for Moab. His fugitives shall flee to Zoar like a three-year-old heifer.
And it's, we're going to find out who Moab is in just a minute.
Yeah, what that is.
Yeah.
All right. Verse 30.
Then Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters were with him. For he was afraid to dwell in Zoar, and he and his two daughters dwelt in a cave. Now the firstborn said to the younger, our father is old, and there's no man on earth to come in to us, as is the custom of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we'll lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father. So they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. It happened on the next day that the firstborn said to the younger, indeed, I lay with my father last night. Let us make him drink wine tonight also, and you go in and lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father. Then they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Thus both the daughters of Lot were with child by their father. The firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. And the younger, she also bore a son and called his name Ben-Ammi. He is the father of the people of Ammon to this day.
It just seems really strange to me that the young lady said, there's just not a man left on earth.
Nowhere around
there. We got to do this evil deed. But it speaks to the destruction, and think back to what the men were saying about the angels, right? They weren't interested in the daughters.
Yeah.
They were interested in the men.
And what we don't know is evidently that attitude prevailed in the other four cities that were destroyed.
And right. In those days, you know, you walked wherever you went.
Yeah.
Unless you had a camel or a donkey. And in their case, I mean, where they were, who knows how many days they had gone through that desolated place to find another city. Everything had been wiped out.
Yeah.
So it seemed to them like they were all that was left.
It was the end of the world to them.
Yes.
And the fact that Zoar probably was just as contaminated
right.
by that process. And so they didn't, you know, even if it wasn't that far away, they didn't want to go back
right.
there.
There aren't any men there that we can
yeah.
have
yeah,
children with. They're all interested in other men.
It doesn't tell us exactly why, but
yeah.
they quickly left Zoar once they had arrived there.
Yeah, it says he was afraid to dwell there, is what it says. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
That must have been some pretty good wine, too.
Yeah, and a lot of it.
All right, let me read 20.
Okay.
And Abraham journeyed from there to the south and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and stayed at Gerar. Now Abraham said to Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, indeed, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, will you slay a righteous nation also? Did he not say to me, she is my sister? And she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands, I have done this. And God said to him in a dream, yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart. For I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Now, therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you shall live. But if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, and you and all who are yours. So Abimelech rose early in the morning, called all his servants, and told all these things in their hearing. And the men were very much afraid. And Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, "What have you done to us? How have I offended you that you have brought on me and my kingdom a great sin? You have done deeds to me that ought not to be done." Then Abimelech said to Abraham, "What did you have in view that you have done this thing?" And Abraham said, "Because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will kill me on account of my wife. And indeed, she is truly my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And it came to pass, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said to her, 'This is your kindness that you should do for me in every place wherever we go, that say to me, he is my brother.' Then Abimelech took sheep, oxen, and male and female servants, and gave them to Abraham, and he restored Sarah, his wife, to him. And Abimelech said, 'See, my Lord is before you. Dwell where it pleases you.' Then to Sarah he said, 'Behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Indeed, this vindicates you, because all who are with you and before everybody.' Thus she was rebuked. So Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female servants. Then they bore children, for the Lord had closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife."
Another odd story.
Yeah. Kind of just stuck in there.
Yeah. And the really odd part is that's now the second time for Abraham. I can't remember if I said this in our last podcast or if it was in the weekly Sabbath. Everything runs together anymore. But it happens twice now with Abraham, and the exact same thing happens with Isaac.
Yes.
It's odd.
Runs in the family, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know why that's in there, but it is. All right, chapter 21. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, "God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me." Also she said, "Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age." So the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing. Then she said to Abraham, "Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac." And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. He obviously loved his son Ishmael.
Yes.
It was his boy. He loved him. But God said to Abraham, "Do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called. Yet I will also make a nation of the son of the bondwoman, because he is your seed." So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water, and putting it under her shoulder, he gave it and the boy to Hagar and sent her away. Then she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water in the skin was used up, and she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. Then she went and sat down across from him at a distance of about a bow shot, and she said to herself, "Let me not see the death of the boy." So she sat opposite him and lifted her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. Then the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, "What ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. So God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. He dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. So this sounds pretty harsh, to just give a lady a thing of water and say, all right, get out of here. But it occurs to me that God had told him, everything will be fine. The boy will be fine. You need to obey what Sarah said, not to that he needs to obey Sarah indefinitely, but in this matter, do what she says, send her away, and the boy will be fine. So
he put that's it in why, God's hands.
Right.
Yes.
Again, he obeyed God's voice.
In chapter 17, he's of Ishmael, in verse 20, he says, And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. So Abraham knew that God promised that and would fulfill it and yeah. believed it would be fulfilled. So by sending him out, he didn't expect any hardship. And it was evidently Hagar when the water ran out.
Yeah, that was so.
She just, we're going to die out here in the wilderness.
Well, and it specifically said it that God heard the boys.
Yeah, his cry. Yeah.
Right. But Abraham just, whatever God said, he did it, even up to the point of sending his firstborn on his way with a sack of water and being willing to sacrifice Isaac.
Yeah.
He did whatever God told him. It's impressive. Verse 22, and it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, spoke to Abraham, saying, God is with you in all that you do. Now, therefore, swear to me by God that you will not deal falsely with me, with my offspring, or with my posterity, but that according to the kindness that I have done to you, you will do to me and to the land in which you have dwelt. This king is scared of Abraham.
Yeah.
And Abraham said, I will swear. Then Abraham rebuked Abimelech because of the well of water which Abimelech's servants had seized. And Abimelech said, I do not know who has done this thing. You did not tell me, nor had I heard of it until today. So Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and the two of them made a covenant. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech asked Abraham, what is the meaning of these 7 ewe lambs which you have set by themselves? And he said, you will take these 7 ewe lambs from my herd, that they may be my witness that I have dug this well. Therefore he called that place Beersheba, because the two of them swore an oath there. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. So Abimelech rose with Phicol, the commander of his army, and they returned to the land of the Philistines. Then Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham stayed in the land of the Philistines many days. So it just occurred to me that if anyone out there does need proof of what we've been saying, what you have said in your papers about a covenant being a legally binding contract, I think yeah, this speaks to it right here.
Yeah. It's a covenant between these two men.
Yep. And it can be likened to a marriage contract, but it's not solely that.
That's right.
It's a contract.
Well, the covenant God made with Israel was a marriage contract, and the one he makes with us. But that's not the only kind of covenant you can have. Legal agreement is a covenant.
Well, and couldn't there be also a legal contract or covenant of adoption, of saying,
sure,
I'm going to take care of you, but you have to obey the rules of my house?
Of course.
Yeah.
Or in business.
Yeah.
And that's probably, this was probably
this
a business.
Was business, right? Well, and yeah.
You know, I dug this well. I'm going to use it.
This is mine now.
Yeah. And you stay away from it. And
that guy was scared of him.
Well,
and notice that Abraham's the one giving him stuff now.
Yeah.
He's exceeded this king because of God's blessings.
All right. Let me do 22.
Okay.
Short one. I like the short ones.
Okay.
Now, it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. So Abraham arose early in the morning and saddled his donkey. He took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, You stay here with the donkey, and the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. Okay, that's interesting that he's going to go sacrifice this son, and he says, We will come back to you.
Good point.
Interesting.
Really good point.
So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said to him, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. We'll come back to that statement in a minute. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you, and I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Now it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, Indeed, Milcah also has borne children to your brother Nahor. Huz, his firstborn, Buz, his brother, Kamel, the father of Aram, Chesed, Hazel, Pildash, Jeplaf, and Bethuel. And Bethuel begat Rebekah. These eight Milcah bore to Nahor, Abraham's brother. His concubine, whose name was Reumah, also bore Taba, Gaham, Phahash, and Maachah.
See what you get for taking the short chapters.
That's all right.
That stuck with the names.
I was told how to deal with those. Say them fast and move on.
And act like you know what you're talking about.
But, yeah, I just wanted to point out there that, where was it? The angel of the Lord called to mm-hmm. him in verse 11. It says, do not lay your hand, verse 12, on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. So this angel of the Lord evidently is the Lord.
Yeah.
Me.
Same thing as when they, isn't that what it called one of the angels? It was the angel of the Lord that he met under the tree just a little while ago.
Yeah. By myself I have sworn, says the Lord.
This is where
it was accounted to him for righteousness.
This is where it becomes the oath.
Yes.
Right. There's no longer a covenant. Covenant was incumbent upon Abraham's continued obedience. Now he's saying, because you have done this thing, I swear. And Paul mentions this in his letter to the Galatians, because he could swear by nothing greater. He swore it by this oath, that all these things concerning his physical children and the birthright promise, which was, and your seed, singular seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Now, that seed, as Paul said, is a singular seed, not a nation of people, but a single seed, which is Christ. And that is, this is where all of that becomes immutable, as we went over in the paper and in the podcast previously.
Which means basically it's going to happen no matter what.
All of it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and religions of this world, from one side or the other, want to discount one or the other of these.
Well, and as we were saying, with a covenant, that's a two-part agreement. You do this, and I will do that.
That's
and
right.
It's two parties. But now with an oath, that's no longer the case. Abraham could disobey God here, but this is still going to be carried out because it is now an oath.
Or any of his offspring along the way.
Yeah.
And now, later on, you will find in Scripture the language that says the covenant and the oath. The covenant that it's talking about was the later covenant made with Sinai, as well as the oath to Abraham. That's why back in Leviticus, I believe it's in chapter 26, when it says, if you will be cast off because of your sins, then you still Abraham's children because of the covenant with the fathers, which became the oath, which is right here. So they're still legally bound. God's legally bound to do what he promised because of this oath to Abraham. And it will occur.
Which is why the relationship diminished when they sinned at the foot of the mountain.
Yeah.
If they hadn't done that, then these blessings would have been poured upon them immediately.
Obey God's voice.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, that's
they
the thing.
Adulterated that covenant when they foolishly did that.
Yeah, I'm just hearkening back to, I was sitting here looking at this, and he says to him, this is now becoming an oath because you obeyed my voice.
Yeah. Yes, that's
and
right.
And I think you make a good point, Neil, that Abraham believed God so much that he would make Isaac into a great nation, that all the other things that had been put into covenant before that he was willing to kill him. It says he was put out his hand to slay him because he knew that God would take care of it. He'd either bring him back to life or stop him or do something, but he was going to carry this out.
Well, I think if he probably believed in a resurrection.
Yeah.
And understood that to be a possibility. But what when he answered to Isaac was, God will provide. You know, where's the sacrifice? We got the wood, but where's the sacrifice?
Yeah.
Oh, God will provide. So, you know, whatever was going through Abraham's mind when he told his young men that he would come back, we'll come back.
Right.
Well, the lesson here is you put God first. Put God and what he tells you to do first.
Regardless.
And that other will fall into place. Either in this life or the next.
Yeah.
It will.
Just trust him. and obey him, right? Trust yes. and obey.
There you
I
go.
Think there's a song
there you
about
go.
That.
I'll put
there
it on, put it on this week's
yep,
list.
This week's list.
That's it.
All right. Well, I think we're out of time. We appreciate you listening today, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.